And you're listening to Morning Edition. It's 8:21. I'm Jonathan Reeves, news director with KASU. Joining me on the phone lines right now, we're talking to Chintan Desai, who is facing first District Congressman Rick Crawford in the midterm elections that are coming up. And he, of course, Chintan is the Democratic challenger for that. Mr. Crawford is the Republican incumbent. Chintan, thanks for joining us. Good to hear from you again.
Good morning, Jonathan. Thanks for having me on.
Good morning. You know, there's been a lot of attention on this race across the state, maybe not so much when it started, but now as we're getting closer to midterms, there seems to be a lot of attention in this. What do you think has been leading to so much interest in this particular race?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we talk about the particular views of Congressman Crawford in terms of his continued support for the tariffs and the trade war, he's been one of the most full-throated vocal supporters of them since the beginning, and you combine that with his and we pointed out time and time again his inability to actually talk to people, to meet them where they are, to hold town halls. He's really, in my opinion, and in the opinion of a lot of other people, one of the most inaccessible members of Congress. And so when you combine that position that he has that is so destructive to one of the most important sectors of the economy here in the first district, and then combine that with his unwillingness to meet with folks, and you know, really the contrast that we've showed in that regard. You combine those things, and you have this interesting race where, sure, he probably might think he has it in the bag, or that you know, he's in a strong position. But people want to hear from the congressman; they want to talk to them; they want to actually make sure that they are represented, and that's just not something that's happening, and it shows. And his views and his stances.
When you think about in July, you did the 30 and 30 campaign. What were the things that you learned most after that trip? Because I know that you said that you all went all across. I know obviously the soybean tariffs were a concern and other things that you said. What else did you learn about that trip?
Yeah, I mean, so first and foremost, I mentioned the fact that people do want to listen to be heard by their congressman, be, feel like they're actually meeting them where they are. I think that was the most salient point. A lot of people either, didn't know who Congressman Crawford was or, didn't have a strong opinion of him. And so I think that was telling. Beyond that, there were particular issues that people in the first district faced, and I think it's similar across the country. But it is, making sure that their kids are getting a good education, that they have access to high quality, good health care. Obviously, the farmers that we talked to were concerned about this trade war, and there are a lot of folks that want more investment in infrastructure. We have a ton of broken roads, bridges in disrepair, energy systems that certainly need much more maintenance. People certainly have an appetite for more investment in infrastructure right here in the first district. So those are some of the issues that we heard, and then just a general feeling of wanting to feel a little bit more heard by their congressman.
I know that you attracted a lot of Democrats to your rally, obviously, but did you purposely seek out any Republicans to get their thoughts? And if you did, how did that go?
Yeah, I know in particular we met with the county judge in Independence County. We also met with independent county judges that are marked as independents. And here's what I'll tell you. When we actually sit them down and talk to them and learn more about each other, we find that we actually have a lot more in common than you might think. We talked to that county judge in Independence County, and the issue that came up that we were able to agree that we need a lot more investment in it is infrastructure. He wants more infrastructure projects for his community, and we talked about how that's one of the biggest priorities for our campaign and what we want to do when I'm elected. So the theme there is when you actually, again, talk to people, which Congressman Crawford is not doing, if you talk to people and meet them where they are, listen to them, it's much more likely that you'll find things in common, and then also better represent those particular views and stances when you're in Washington.
I know you've criticized him a lot about, that he won't hold town hall meetings, but some say they won't hold them because they turn into shouting matches that really don't accomplish anything. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, on that, you can create the structure, and tweak that so that it is a structure where that it wouldn't necessarily lead to that outcome. And I understand the concern there, but at the same time, you're a member of Congress. You've been elected to listen to your constituents, and one of the best forums to do that is in a town hall, and he is not held, he's had held one in the time that he's been in Congress. We can fact check that, but to our record, it's one town hall, and to us, it's one of the best forums that you can possibly have to actually talk to people, to hear their concerns. You can tweak the format to ensure that maybe it doesn't lead to a shouting match. But when you combine that with the other things he's done, right, he has shut down his social media page. He has the constituent office, literally has cobwebs in the doors. And we have consistently heard that he even refuses to meet with people individually. That's a common theme. You take all of that, and I think it's just painted the theme that we have really one of the most inaccessible members of Congress here in the 1st District.
Chin Desai joining me here on KASU. You'll get an opportunity to debate him when AETN hosts a lot of the debates in October as we get closer to the midterm elections. I know you're looking forward to that debate.
We are. We certainly, it's maybe not the ideal condition in terms of it being not in the 1st District. It's going to be at 9 a.m. on a weekday. It's an hour long. But we are still glad to have that opportunity, and we are looking forward to that. At the same time, we would certainly, and I think this is the opinion that's held by most people here in the 1st District, is that they would wish that there would be more debates. There would be more opportunities to hear directly from their candidates and be able to contrast their positions in real time. And so the challenge, certainly, for Congressman Crawford is, while we appreciate the opportunity to debate him, and that he's agreed to that debate on October 8th in Little Rock, we certainly would rather have more debates and at least one more debate in the 1st District so that people that are in the 1st District could actually come and attend. So that is the direct challenge to Congressman Crawford, is to participate in at least one, if not more, debates before the election.
Chintan Desai joining us. You know, when you take a look at the midterm elections as a whole, some are predicting a blue wave in November, while others believe the GOP will hold its own. There are divisions among Republicans, but Democrats have a reputation of being their own worst enemy as well. Can Democratic candidates like yourself present a unified front and a message that resonates with voters?
Yes, and I think that because that's exactly what we've been doing. Our message, despite the fact that we have one of the most or more diverse districts, right? If you're talking about the constituents in Mountain Home, the constituents in Lake Village, those are, you know, different demographics, different interest groups, different sectors of the economy. And yet our message has been very consistent. We have these particular issues, making sure that we're building a strong economy, making sure that folks have access to high quality and affordable health care, making sure that their kids are getting a great education, and then ensuring that we have investment in infrastructure so we can create the jobs that we need right here in Arkansas. That has been our message from the very beginning, and we present that same message with good results to the folks in Mountain Home all the way down to the folks in Lake Village. And so if I can do that, certainly any other Democratic candidate can do that. And again, you combine those views with the fact that Congressman Crawford does not either care about these issues or shows that he does not care by not meeting with people. To us, it's actually been remarkably easy to use that message time and time again in front of people. It's just a matter of getting it in front of enough people.
How do you communicate to some Democrats who had heard hope and change through the previous administration, but then maybe they didn't see the kind of change they like to see? How can those voters expect any different things happening this time, especially since there's so much of a disenfranchisement with both parties right now? How can they expect a change?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that the change that we would advocate for is a change from what this administration is currently doing, which is, this is one of the most xenophobic, I'd say, racist administrations that we've seen in a long time. It's also one of the most corrupt administrations that we've seen in a long time. And to us, the change here is if you want to hold this president accountable, hold this administration accountable, I'll tell you what, congressional Republicans certainly are not doing it. Congressman Crawford is certainly not doing it. He is, toed the line with this president time and time again. And if you're talking about hope and change. I mean, yeah, that those are things that take time, and you're talking about rebuilding the system as a whole. None of that happens overnight. But if we're talking about true change from what's happening now, you need to have members of Congress who are going to hold this administration accountable, and that's simply not happening. That's something that I pledge to do.
Chintan Desai joining us here. Voters are expected to see on the November ballot an issue that would raise the minimum wage in Arkansas to $11 an hour by 2021. And opponents are mounting a legal challenge, saying that such an increase would actually harm low-income workers through reducing hours at jobs and cutting jobs. What are your thoughts on minimum wage increases?
Yeah,
and also on that particular argument, too. I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. It is well past time working class families in Arkansas got a raise. And look, you haven't had a federal minimum wage increase in a decade. We know that in order to afford a modest two-bedroom home in Arkansas, you got to earn about $13.84 an hour. Minimum wage increase, in my opinion, would be a good thing. It would boost the economy. You have more disposable income for folks, putting money back into local businesses. It also would diminish any working families' need for government assistance. So you're talking about reduced sort of burden on taxpayers. And then it promotes greater fairness when you've got CEO pay skyrocketing and wage growth for some of our middle and low-income families stagnating. So that's our particular opinion. I don't agree with the line of thinking there that it would place a strain on our low-income workers, especially when, you have this great disparity between folks who are making minimum wage and the CEOs on the very high end. I don't agree with the notion that that would be a big concern, particularly in our very inequitable state that we're in right now. And, our opinion is that we are in favor of it. I know it's a state-level ballot initiative, but the direct question that I would have for when Congressman Crawford is back on your show is, does he support it? Does he personally support this initiative? And is he going to vote for an increase for the working class families in Arkansas? Does he support a pay increase for them?